flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Whenever we try to get ourselves educated in certain sports, or when we're dealing with certain teams, we call the experts in, and this is definitely an expert for the Washington Capitals. And joining us on the MGM National Harbor Listener Line on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Let's talk to our guy, Joe Beninati. What's up, Joe? How you doing, brother?
Hey, B. Mitch. I'm doing great. North of the border. It's day 12 of a 12-day road trip. I think the guys are ready to go home. I know I am ready to come home, and they want to come home with one more win. They've been doing really well on the road all season, and especially so on this trip.
Joe, I think I mentioned to you before, I say, like in the past, I would see guys standing around waiting for Ovi to make plays. This team here, right now, they're not waiting around. He has a lot of help with them. And when on nights when he's not getting his goals with it, people are trying to take him out of it, his guys are stepping up for him. How much is that making this team even better?
No, it's absolutely the right point, Brian. The team has greater depth this season. They just do. Sure, they always know that they can count on number 8 when the chips are down to provide goals. But this team has a collective group of offensive players that in the first 2 months of the season, they were downright frightening, B. Mitch. They were scoring goals at an alarming rate. That goal-scoring number has come down a bit in the last 6 weeks, but to their betterment, they've played the league's best defense. All of a sudden now, they're on top of the league in terms of goals against average, and as a result, they're right there with Winnipeg for the number one record in all the NHL. The depth of talent on this team is really good, and every coach, every scout, you know, we're in Ottawa today. The first thing they talk about is Washington's size across the board, big, physical, heavy team, and the depth at which they can produce points. And those are good things, good attributes to have.
Just like the Commanders, where they are farther ahead than people thought. And at one point, it looked like the Caps were like getting to a point where they had their nucleus, but a lot of those guys started to get hurt and they were out. And they were going to have to rebuild. Are they farther along now than what you expected?
Yeah, the interesting thing is they've never really used that word. They've never said rebuild. I think
recalibrate.
You know, Brian, sure, all those, you know, all the substitutes, right? Mitch? But, Brian McClellan used an expression in the offseason before he handed the reins off to Chris Patrick as general manager that they were going to try and thread the needle, Brian. It was threading the needle between putting a new lineup together, retooling, what have you, but also remaining consistent and remaining competitive. They didn't want to see Alex Ovechkin chase Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record on a team that was way down in the dumps on a rebuild. As a result, they brought in seven people in the offseason. They got younger. Their tempo of play is faster. They have threaded the needle perfectly to the point where now you're approaching the month of February and you're very much in consideration for President's Trophy for the best record in the NHL. You've been leading the Metro almost cover to cover. It's been wonderful to watch them work, and I think deservedly so. The coaching staff gets a great deal of the credit. Spencer Carberry has been fantastic. He and his staff have done a brilliant job of molding this team, which seemed to click right from the jump.
How often do you see something like that? Normally when a team is at this point and they try to get younger, things don't work out as easy. So this is a rarity, right?
You mentioned it, Brian, though. You use the word core. There is and still is a tremendous core of players here from the championship winning days of 2018. Yeah, those numbers are dwindling, but those guys, the players I'm talking about specifically, Ovechkin, Carlson, Wilson, those guys still are very, very impactful inside that dressing room. And TJ Oshie, Nick Backstrom, who are no longer playing with the team, who are on injured reserve, are also here. And on a day-to-day basis, they're just a phone call away or just a meeting room away from giving their impact and their input. And this team, I think, as it was constructed, was built to gel as fast as possible. And that's what they've done. There's been no mention of getting on the same page. They've been together as a unit from training camp. And all throughout it, there's been no lull. That's the thing that scares me, is that they haven't had the 3 or 4 game lull. There's no team that's been better after a loss this season. Mm-hmm. They're scary after they don't let one loss beat them twice. That's what they've been doing throughout. And I hope that they can continue that over the remaining, 32 games of the season, 31 games of the season.
Logan, Thompson, they extended him?
Deservedly so, yeah. B-Mitch, and handsomely so. And I think, if Logan got to the open market in the summertime, if he got to July 1 as a free agent, he probably would have brought in even more dollars than what he's coming in at. I believe it was 35.1 over 6 years. Obviously, this is an organization that meant a lot to Logan. It gave him an opportunity in a development camp a long, long time ago. He became an all-star out west with the Vegas Golden Knights. He's come to Washington. He's playing barely at the league minimum and has performed like the Vezina Trophy winner. And honestly, I could tell you, he's an MVP discussion.
Yeah.
He's been that good over the last 6 weeks where, if you're the top player on the top team, you deserve to be in the MVP discussion. And I know players like McDavid and Dreisaitl and MacKinnon are always going to be in consideration for that award. They're the front runners. But Logan Thompson will deserve attention if he continues to play at this level. His one-loss record is freaky. I mean, he's 23-2-3. That just doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, basically, when he's in net, you're winning for the most part.
Pretty
like
darn
90%,
good.
Something like that. So.
B-Mitch, he's won his last 11 starts. He won't go tonight. Charlie Lindgren will play tonight.
Yeah.
From what I understand, but Logan's won his last 11 starts, and that next start could be the big head-to-head matchup this Saturday with Winnipeg when the team gets home.
As we look at the game tonight, they're playing against the Ottawa Senators. What can we expect from this game? What are you looking for?
The funny thing is, 2 weeks ago it was Logan Thompson. Logan Thompson shut the Senators out here 2 weeks ago. It was a nothing-nothing game. You don't see that very often through 60 minutes. Alex Ovechkin won the game with an overtime game winner. Alex is so opportunistic, B-Mitch. You don't see – this is not 25-year-old Alex Ovechkin anymore. This is 39-year-old Alex Ovechkin coming off of a significant leg injury. So the mobility isn't as electric as it used to be, but he is more opportunistic than ever. He's a very heady, smart player. He knows where to be, and his shot is extraordinary. So if you give him a chance, he buries the game winner. This team is interesting. Ottawa is a very, very fast team. So I think matchup-wise, it'll be an attractive game to watch tonight on Monumental Sports Network.
But the thing about Alex, like people look for one thing. He's been around so long now, man. He knows how to change it up on you a little bit. He's like the pitchers from back in the day with the Atlanta Braves. They didn't throw it very hard. Matt, he knew where to place it. And Ovi knows where to place it. Like that, the one he scored in overtime, it was a top net, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Down the off wing, high on the blocker side. I'm going to start calling Alex Ovechkin Maddox and Glavin now, thanks to you.
Man, look, the dude is great. I liked hockey because it was physical. But when I saw him, I really got into it because I loved it at that point. Because you watch a dude that big, that can skate like that, move like that, you got to be thoroughly impressed with it. But
so many times early in his career, people would come up to me, he's what, maybe 5'10", 190 pounds? I say, no, he's a Mack truck. He's like 6'3", 235 with all those moves.
Oh, middle linebacker.
Brian, he used to hit like a linebacker on skates.
Yeah.
I think for self-preservation, he doesn't hit nearly as much, but he can still rock you.
Oh, yeah, he could definitely do that. So, Joe, we all expect Alex to break this record, and I'm thinking it's going to be this season, to be honest with you. As you look at it and you look at how he's been doing, and, you know, he could go on these spurts now, and I think another spurt or two are coming. When do you have like the expectation or a time when you think this could possibly happen?
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Because I know those tickets are going to be high as hell.
Yeah, I don't want to go there with you just yet, Brian. I'm trying not to sit on the fence with you here. It's just he would need to get smoking hot in the remaining games of the regular season to get there. Nothing would surprise me though, because he's done absolutely everything you could imagine in the last 20 years to make the eyes pop out of your head. He's just when you say no, it's going to happen next year. Boom, he'll gonna go on a run where he gets 10 goals in a week and brings that target number closer and closer. Right now, as I sit here in Ottawa, I'm more prone to think that it might happen early next season. But again, he's the kind of player who is a streak jump shooter. You know, he's the guy you cab him out behind the 3-point line and he'll hit 12 in a row. And if that happens, then we will be talking about something, you know, late March, early April, where he could be on the precipice of it. I just, from what I see, I expect him to be in the mix, in the neighborhood. But I don't know about this season, Brian. I just don't. That's just me. Like I said, all it takes, though, is 1 6- or 7- goal week, and then we're right back to talking about, well, where are the projections going to fall? If it's going to happen, I think it's more likely late March, early April. But in my gut thinks it's early fall next season.
That fluke injury, man, messed up things.
Now, if that doesn't happen, he was playing so gosh darn well. If that doesn't happen in Utah in November, then we would be having the conversation. We would definitely be on the watch. That injury was significant. It sidetracked him. His mobility is coming back. He's skating better. But he was moving much better before the injury, and that did curtail some of this.
Now, Joe, I know when you're out on the road, you like to go on nice dinners, drink some nice wine. What's been the best dinner and the best wine you've had since you've been on that Canadian tour?
We've only been on the road 12 days, so there are a few meals to consider. Brian, I'll go back to just last night.
All right.
Just last night here in Ottawa, a restaurant called Fratelli, a really, really nice veal marsala dish that was awesome with a nice glass of Ripasso. It hit the spot.
Oh, there you go. So right now I'm getting my wife into it, drinking more wine. So what is because she used to be like all the fruity stuff. I told her she liked Kool-Aid. and now she's trying to try out the good stuff. So she's trying the good stuff. So what's a good one that you think she might like?
Well, first things first, try both red and white. Experience both of those. Like
she tried both of them, but she stuck to the red.
She stuck to the red. See, yeah. It's funny, as I drink more wine, I tend to gravitate more towards white wines. I'm drinking more white burgundies than I've ever done before, and I really love those with seafood. But on the red front, I think when you're first getting acclimated to wine, red wine specifically, I would stay Italian, French, and Napa. And if she likes bigger, bolder wines, she's going to go Cabernet Sauvignon. Uh-huh. If she wants to experience something that's a little bit more spicy, peppery, then I would advise for Syrah. And if it's the first course of the day, if it's with salads or maybe charcuterie, you know, deli meats, cheeses, then I would start with Pinot Noir.
But that's my favorite
Noir,
right there.
Pinot Noir takes the time to get adjusted to learn the nuances of it. It's a very finicky grape. Everybody loves Cabernet right from the start. But for me, if you pin me down, I really like a really good Northern Rhone Syrah.
All right. I'm a Pinot Noir guy. I love it.
Can't go wrong there. Can't go wrong there.
I absolutely love those, man. Look,
keeps you light on your feet.
Yeah. See, when I was drinking Chateauneuf du Pape, that's a French wine, right?
That's a French wine. Yeah. The grape primarily is
Grenache. I didn't know a damn thing about it. I just liked the name, and I started drinking it.
A lot of people like Grenache. So that's Grenache, Syrah, and Mourvèdre together, and beautiful. That's more Southern Rhone. I'm partial to Northern Rhone, but when you go Chateauneuf du Pape, now we're going Southern Rhone, and you bring in some of the greatest wines of the world.
See, Joe, this is another thing you could do, man. You could have your own little podcast talking about wine, food, and hockey.
You, me, and JP. Let's go.
JP not going to talk about wine. He just like one thing, vodka. He likes vodka.
Oh, I can't help him there.
All right, Joe, man, I appreciate you giving us some time, man. Have a good trip, and I hope the Caps get a win tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks for sharing some time this morning.
All right, brother. Take care. That's Joe Beninati joining us here on B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7. You can follow Joe at X as at Joe B. P. X. P. Listen, man, Joe has a lot of, let's just say, talents. The dude dresses his ass off. He can tell you where to go to the best restaurants. He can give you all kind of tips about wine and all those type of things, but when he starts talking about hockey, he is going to educate you. And I have called him on several occasions to ask stuff. And this is what I learned about some of the finicky hockey fans. I'm going to tell you about yourselves. So when I first started doing some shows over at Comcast, I would like talk to Joe, Alan May, Smoking Al Koken, and get their opinions on stuff. And then I come to the air, and I basically regurgitate exactly what the hell they told me. And you know what some of these old snobbish-ass hockey fans say? You don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, obviously you're the stupidest person in the world. Because one thing about me, I'm not going to the air and discuss something I don't know without talking to somebody that knows it. So if I don't know what I'm talking about, then Alan May don't know what he's talking about. Then Joe Beninati and Al Koken, man, they wouldn't have said it. Yes, they did say it. And then all of a sudden now they have to back off. Because what it is, hockey fans, like, they want to tell you what you can like. I like physicality. I've always loved it. And then as I began to learn hockey, I learned that it's not just about the physicality. It's about the grace, how smooth people can be. And I pick it up and I like it. But don't turn people away, because your sport can gain a lot more fans if you stop being so damn snobbish and silly. Okay? So, Joe B., thank you. Alan May, Smoking Al Koken, thank y'all too for educating me. And I found out that a lot of people in hockey that really talk about how much they're a hockey fan, they don't really know what the hell they're talking about. So we're going to take us a quick break here. We get back, and I'm going to see if I could get some hockey fans here. Because you know what? When you have the greatest player probably in a sport, when he's done, he probably will be that. And I want to find out from y'all, will you try to attend Ovi's game when he gets right there? When Joe B. say he thinks it'll be next year, he didn't want to put so much pressure on this year. Or are you going to try to get a ticket? Because, hell, I'm going to try. You know, I'm in the media. I might use that credential at that time. Because I would love to be in the arena when he breaks that record. Because, you know, I've seen people go from just not liking him because to all of a sudden having to respect him because how damn great he's been. We're going to take a quick break. We get back. 800-636-1067. Will you try to attend Obie's record-breaking game? I'm going to ask these guys in the fishbowl as well. I know one guy's going to tell me definitely no, but we're going to see what the other guy's going to say.